you. Just bless his holy name from the depths of your heart. Just worship him from the depths of your heart. Just go ahead and thank him. Because you see, you can't thank him enough. He has always been there. He's the reason we are here. Not everybody that started this year is still alive as of today. Many people have been laid aside. Many people have ended their journey. But here we are, still alive, still breathing, and still moving on. Worship him. Worship him from the depths of your heart. Thank him for the honor and the privilege and the grace to be alive. For life is a gift. It is not by our own making. It is not what we know to do. It is not even our prayers. It is not our righteousness. It is by his mercies that we are not consumed. It is by his mercies. Thank God for the mercies. His mercies that are new every day. His mercies that are over us as individuals. His mercies that are over us as a church. Thank him for his mercies. Thank him for his mercies. Mercy, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. We worship you tonight. We lift up your name. We exalt you. We give you all the praise. We honor you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
We worship you, Lord. Mandala Baba. Jeremosi ala mama mama. Marabadosi ala mama de baba gada baba. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you. We honor you, Jesus. It is by his mercies. It is by his mercies. The book of Ephesians tells us that God is the father of mercies. Different kinds of mercies. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Ah, we worship you, Lord. For your mercy. Abakate susuba shalabaha. Mercy, Lord. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Father, we honor you tonight. We ascribe all greatness to your name. We thank you for your mercies over us. We thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for the gift of life. We thank you for all you are doing in our lives. And we bless your name. Lord, we are gathered unto you. Before you and by your feet tonight, we ask that you speak to us from your word in Jesus' name. Lord, what we need to hear that is specific to our needs, speak that unto us in Jesus' name. Lord, let your power be strong even as you speak to us in Jesus' name. Let grace be manifested. Let your glory be seen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please, you can be wonderfully seated. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to thank God for this opportunity. I also want to appreciate Reverend and Reverend Mrs. in absentia, and Pastor K, the assistant pastor as well, for this opportunity to be here tonight to share God's word. I don't take it for granted. Yes, let's put our hands together for Jesus. Amen. And I trust God that God will be speaking to us tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're just going to run through the verses in that chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Amen. The Bible says here, beginning from verse 1, we're going to take it verse by verse. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Therefore, seeing. So this verse is telling us there's something we should keep seeing. There's something we should keep in front of us every other time. There's something that should be ahead of us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1 that God will grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened and flooded with light, that we may know what is the hope of his calling over our life. There's a hope of his calling. And every aspiration of any believer should be to lay hold on the reason for which Jesus lay hold upon you. There's a reason for which you got born again. You didn't get born again for fun. If there's no reason, then you should have gone to heaven the second day after getting born again. But God kept you here because there is a ministry, there is a purpose, there's an assignment. Even as an individual in a local assembly, there is a vital position you have to occupy and you have to minister in order to fulfill that. And the Bible says here, we have to keep seeing. Therefore, seeing, we have. It's not that we are going to have or we may have. We already have it in our different ministries where we are serving in the church. It could be ushering, it could be departments. It said seeing, we have to keep this before us. Seeing we have this ministry, then it says as we have received mercy. In other words, the fact that we got born again is because we received mercy. It is the mercy of God that got to us. It is not because we are smart. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, while we are yet sinners, he died for us. So it was not because of something we did or we are going to do or the way we prayed or we spoke in tongues. No. Before all of that, you see, he said, we have received mercy. Every one of us have mercy. Hallelujah to Jesus. That is why we are still breathing. You see, the spirit realm is busier, much more busier than the busiest place on earth. Oshodi, Lagos used to be very busy. It's no longer busy now. But I remember as a university student in my 100 level, I've never been to Lagos as at that time in my life. So I decided I have to break this thing. So I decided to go to Lagos when I was in 100 level. I didn't tell my parents. I just went, took some money with me. I wanted to go and buy trouser material. And I got to Lagos. By the time I brought the trouser material back, the tailor said, is this shorts I want to sew or trouser? I said, trouser. He said, this one cannot be enough. I said, the guy measured it. He said, I want to buy, you know. But I remember getting down from Oshodi and I said, my God and my Father, what is going on here? The crowd was massive. Everybody was rushing to nowhere. Hallelujah. Now imagine the scenario in Oshodi. The spirit realm is much more busier with demonic activities, angelic activities, and a lot of things going on in the spirit realm. Hallelujah to Jesus. A lot of things are going on. You see, it's a busy place. The spirit realm is very and extremely busy, much more busy than we are in the physical realm. And every time the devil is looking for our head. The Bible says the devil coming up but to kill, to steal and to destroy. And that is in the literal form of it. If he has your head, he will cut it off. You see, because there's so much hatred that the devil has for the children of God. If he has his way, he will snuff out your life this moment. He will wait for the next minute. But because of the mercies of God, hallelujah to Jesus. Because of the mercies of God, Jesus Christ appeared to Kenneth Hagin. And in that vision, Jesus Christ was telling him, it was an open vision. He said, many times the devil had wanted to snuff out your life and kill you, but I preserved you. He said, when you were in the womb of your mother, the devil wanted to end your life, but I did not allow him. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you discover that you are alive today is not because you know how to speak in tongues. When you were in your mother's womb, you couldn't speak in tongues. You were not filled with the Holy Ghost then. Hallelujah to Jesus. But it kept you. You didn't get born again on the first day your mother gave birth to you. You lived some time as an unbeliever, and yet the mercies of God, because of the ministry that is ahead, and because of the purpose that cannot be negotiated, the mercies of God kept you. Let me tell you, your neighbor, it's just the mercies of God. I know you like my shirt and my shoes, but it is the mercies of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. It is the mercies of God. If you look at somebody and say, ah, your face is always shining, it's the mercies of God. It's the mercies of God. My. I remember when I started out the ministry, I was so broke. I was so broke, I thought I would never make it in life. Because of the sacrifice that went with, you know, starting ministry and all of that. But here I am today. It is just the mercies of God. When I think back in those beginning years, I'm humbled the more that this is just the mercies of God. He says, so because of this, we faint not. When we consider all these things and we know that it is by the mercies of God, we refuse to faint. Because I don't have money in my pocket, I won't go to church. No, I will trek there. Hallelujah to Jesus. I simply refuse to faint. When somebody faints in the physical, what does that person, what will happen? He will just pass out. That's why a lot of believers will just pass out. Say, because I lost my phone. Why would God allow somebody to steal my phone? I won't go to church again. Say, look, mercies of God. You got the phone in the first place, it was by the mercies of God. And the same mercy can replace that phone 10 times more. Hallelujah to Jesus. So seeing, there's something we have to keep seeing. God told Abraham, he said, look at the sky, look at the stars, look at the sun, look at the beach side, look at all the sands. Because you see, there's something he has to keep seeing. Hallelujah. Because he was asking God, he said, Lord, this is your promise. What are you going to do? Seeing that I go childless, I'm not in this time, because he was seeing the wrong thing. And God said, okay, let me help you to see the right things. So he said, seeing we have this ministry, we are not here for fun. Hallelujah. We are not here for fun. We are here on a purpose. And Apostle Paul admonishes us that we should run our race with patience. He said, because there's a cloud of witnesses. Cloud of witnesses are righteous believers that have passed on, and they are there on the balcony of heaven cheering us on, looking at us and saying, no, you can't afford to fail at this time around. You can't fail this time around. You've got to keep on moving on. Hallelujah to Jesus. Amen to Jesus. So I refuse to faint. Let me tell you, neighbor, I just refuse to faint. That is it. Do all you can do. I won't faint. I won't pass out on God. Hallelujah. I have to wait for the salvation of God. I have to wait for the testimony of God. I have to wait for the victory of God in this situation and circumstance I'm going through. I have to see the end of it. I have to get to the victory point. I'm not about to pass out on God. I'm not about to leave God to it. I have to hold on to the arms of the altar until I see the salvation of God in my life. Hallelujah. So he said, we refuse to faint. Because we have the mercies of God. The Bible says concerning Joseph, and the Lord showed him mercy. You know, if God shows you mercy, if God shows you the dimensions of his mercy, your life can never remain the same again. Because every time, in any situation, in any circumstance, you just think about that mercy. And the Bible tells us in Psalm 147, it says, the Lord has pleasure in those that hope in his mercy. That word pleasure is the same thing, almost the same thing, like when the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that without faith it is impossible to please God. So when you hope in his mercy, you're actually in faith. When you look at a particular situation and everything looks like it's not going to work out, and said, I hope in the mercies of God. For 2 years, at a point in my life, I was confessing that scripture only. Lord, I hope in your mercy. Because everything looks so bleak. Everything looks as if there's no way. I thought I was finished ministry-wise, but his mercies will not allow. Mercy said no. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The devil wanted to end it all, but mercy said no. In other words, mercy has a voice. Jesus Christ died. The Bible makes us understand that he took his blood in his hands. He was the offering and the offerer. He took his blood in his hands and went to the heavens. And you see, the mercy seat in the tabernacle in the Holy of Holies is a type and shadow of what existed in heaven. So he took his blood and went to the mercy seat and sprinkled all of it on that mercy seat. And from that point on, mercy began to speak on the behalf of you and I. Mercy said no. Mercy said no. I remember as a student, there was this elongated strike on the campus, and I was like, I can't just stay here doing nothing. So I told my friend whose uncle has a big bakery in Sagamu. He said, let's go there and work. Instead of staying here for months and playing football, let's go and work. So we went there to work in the bakery. And then we will drive a pickup van and go and deliver those loaves of bread in several places. And one of those days when we went, it was raining, I was dozing, I was sleeping, all of a sudden there was this terrible accident. And the pickup van somersaulted. It couldn't have gone down 15 times. It somersaulted several times. By the time that car landed, we came out and there was not a single scratch on my body. It was messy. It was messy. At that time, it wasn't speaking in tongues. It wasn't devotional life. It wasn't anything. It was just the mercies of God. There are some people that came around when that accident happened and said, where are the people in the car? I said, we are the ones. I said, stop telling us lies. It's not possible. Because that pickup van entered the side of the forest and cleared the forest as it was somersaulting. And the pickup van was like, when you take a sheet of paper and you run, pull it like this. My friend came out, he had this little cut here, and I told him jokingly, God wanted you to know that something actually happened. Because if there was nothing, we can say maybe nothing really happened. You see, it was the mercy of God that preserved. Because there is preservation in mercy. You don't know, you see, in the spirit realm, things are going on. Demons are all over the place trying to do things, and God is dispatching his angels and making sure they keep you safe. Mercy kept on saying no. No, no. Hallelujah to Jesus. Jesus Christ told them, he said, I could have asked for a legion. Is it 12 legions or 7 legions? He said, I can't remember. He said, could I have for a legion of angels? You don't need to cut people's hair off. I could have asked for a legion of angels and they will be available here right now. We have angels all around us. The same time Jesus Christ appeared to Kenneth Hagin, there was a tall angel standing there. And Kenneth Hagin asked Jesus Christ, I said, who is this fellow? Kenneth Hagin said, he was almost reaching to the roof. He said, who is this fellow? And Jesus Christ, that's your angel. And Kenneth Hagin was like, so we still have angels. And then he began to show him the scripture that when the Bible says, let the children come unto me because their angels do behold the face of the Father in heaven. He said, those angels don't leave you alone when you grow up. They are still there, watching after you. Looking after you. And there are many unseen battles going on that you have no idea about. Hallelujah. So because of all these things, we refuse to faint. Amen, oh Jesus. Because there's no money in my bank account, I will now sit there and start crying. No, I refuse to faint. Because when you look back at your life, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, there are times it looks as if it was going to end. But it didn't end. You are still here. Meaning that which you are going to right now shall pass. I said it shall pass. They don't have a forever status. They can't stay forever. Hallelujah. Let's look at verse 2. He said, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. So he said, in order for us to make this ministry that is ahead of us, that we have to keep seeing, in order to make that ministry effective, we have to stop walking in dishonesty. We have to handle the word of God with truth and with integrity. What that means is that little foxes in our lives, we should go the extra mile. Are you here with me? To avoid unnecessary distractions around us, so that which God wants to do in our lives can be done and be done quickly. Because now all these things, they slow us down when you walk in dishonesty. And as a pastor, I know very much, and I'm very aware, that there are a lot of believers that walk in dishonesty. They are born again, but it has become a way of life, and their conscience is seared. Notice the scripture says here, he said, but by the manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The conscience is seared. Sometimes it's as a result of organizational politics, maybe where we work, maybe in government circles, is such that if you are not a crafty person, you can't survive in the place of war. So before you know it, you yourself have become a crafty person over the time, and now you have extended it from work, it has even come to church now. Craftiness, dishonesty, those are the things that slow us down. And everybody has a tendency to just get tempted. The Bible says every man is tempted of his own lust. So there's nobody that does not have his own particular area where you are easily tempted. Hallelujah. So he said we need to be careful of these things. He said we have renounced. So something you have renounced, you don't go back to it. When you talk to those occultic people and they want to come out, what do? They renounce. And when they renounce, they come out and they don't go back there. So the same way, as believers, as children of God, we have renounced all these things. In other words, we should check our lives and take inventory of our lives. If we see that we are handling, you know, the word of God the other way, if we see that there are some little bit of dishonesty here and there, somebody can lie to a point it becomes a habit that you don't know you are lying until somebody tells you are lying. I say, am I really lying? I was arguing with one pastor. I said, you have to lie. I said, it works in a circular. I said, you have to lie. I said, what do you mean? Show me the scripture. I said, you have to lie. I said, so you lie. I said, I lie. I said, well, may I don't understand that. He said, it's because you don't work in the secular. I said, is there a secular Bible and non-secular Bible? The people that work in the secular, this is their Bible. People that don't work in the secular, you know, maybe Pastor Sass that works as a lecturer now, there's a special Bible for him. Hallelujah. He says, we have renounced, because these are the things that cut short the message of God. We have renounced. We don't short circuit this operation of God's message over our lives. Every time the devil is attempting to trip us, bringing all kind of distractions and temptations here and there, and we have to be alert and know that no, this is the devil. This is the devil. When we lie and we do all of those things, how much profit will it bring? Hello, somebody. Because the Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts. Hallelujah. Message translation says we refuse to wear masks and play games. And you know, everybody has masks, you know. When you come to church, you remove that mask only unto the Lord. As you step out Monday morning, it's automatic. You put on the mask. Because now, this is not church. This is workplace. See, all those things that pastor said, this is for church. This is workplace. And if you are not careful, after a while, it becomes a habit, really. It becomes a habit. Hallelujah. Look at verse 3. It says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Let me read this in Message translation. It says, If our message is obscure to anyone, it's not because we are holding back in any way. It is because these other people are looking or going the wrong way and they refuse to give it attention. What is the Bible saying here? It says, look, if somebody is not born again in my workplace, it's not because I have not shared the gospel with that person. It is because I've shared with him, he refused. That way I'm justified. Hallelujah. He said, it's not because these other people are looking or going the wrong way and refuse to give it. Okay, no, let me read it again. If our message is obscure to anyone, it's not because we are holding back in any way. No, it's because these other people are looking or going the wrong way and refuse to give it serious attention. What the Bible is saying here is that this ministry that we have received, we should extend it to our workplace, to people around us. Don't let it be like in your workplace, they don't know you as a born-again Christian. In workplace, I am me. In church, I'm born again. No. That's what the Bible is saying here. Look at verse 4. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So when we are dealing with people around us who are not born again, you are dealing with an influence that is behind them. And sometimes when you share the gospel with them, they laugh at you and mock you. It doesn't mean you should leave them. You keep praying for them to remove that influence, because if that influence is not removed, they can't see this thing. The Bible says, you see, the God of this world has blinded their minds. So everything you are saying, they can't understand. So it requires some level of intercession and persistent praying for that blindfold to be removed and the light of his glorious gospel can shine unto them. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ's sake. We are not preaching ourselves. We mustn't make that mistake. We are preaching Jesus. In other words, everything we do must get back to him that sent us. Verse 6, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. In John chapter 1, the Bible says, the light shineth and darkness comprehended it not. What it means is that as children of light, we will always have the victory. Hallelujah. Somebody says, there is one Babalawo, there is one herbalist, he killed this person. Look, the light shineth and darkness comprehended it not. The scripture cannot be broken. And here it says, for God who commanded the light. It's a command. It's not something that anybody can argue about. The devil knows this very well. Hallelujah. So when we find ourselves in situation with an opposition, what do? We switch into the covenant. Because light will forever overcome darkness. Hallelujah. So in your place of work, in where you find yourself, there are some tussles there. There are issues there. Somebody going to a herbalist doing all. You see, light has been commanded to overcome darkness. Let them do all they know to do. Hallelujah to Jesus. Let them do all they know to do. The light shines and darkness will never be able to comprehend it. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. This treasure, Christ in us, the hope of glory. This treasure resides on our inside. I think it was E.W. Kenyon that said that is the greatest miracle of our age. That God will come to tabernacle in our being. It's crazy, really. We take it for granted, but it's really crazy that you carry God on your inside. It's really, really crazy. And when you switch into that understanding, sometimes you wouldn't even need to pray over a sickness. You just need to meditate a little, and the sickness will have no choice but to go. But you know, most of the time, because we are in the days of our flesh, we tend to dwell more on the physical than in the spirit. And the reality of it is that God indwells us, living on our inside. It is the greatest thing that confused all of hell. They could not believe it. The Bible says, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He didn't know all the while that taking Jesus to the cross and nailing him to the cross was what was going to facilitate Jehovah God coming to tabernacle in our being. And you see, in the Old Testament, you couldn't imagine that. There's no way you can think about it that God will live inside man. It's not possible. Because Moses went to the mountain and was with God for 40 days and 40 nights. He came down. This is not God, this is Moses. He came down, human being, but he was with God for a while. He came down and the children of Israel could not look at his face. He had to use a veil to cover it because of the glory that was emanating. Hallelujah to Jesus. And in the Holy of Holies, those days, you don't say you want to play and then you ride bicycle into the place. Say, I want to play. Let me see what is there. The person has ended his life. Because of the level of glory that was living in that place. So those priests, when they want to go there to atone for the sins of the children of Israel, they will tie a rope on their legs. Or if they die there, nobody will go and carry their corpse. They will tie a rope on their legs. So when they die, they can no longer hear a sound. They will just pull them out and then consecrate the next person in line to go inside the gate. And so each of the priests is going with trepidation that, I hope I won't die. So they probably prepare their will before going. Praise the Lord. That was the way the glory and the presence of God was in the Old Testament. They had these bells around their garments. So as they are moving, those bells will be making noise. They say, he's still alive. He's still there. The moment they can hear the sound of the bell again, out in law. So they pull him out. That was the way the presence of God was. It wasn't something you want to approach like that, unless you are of the Levite or sons of Aaron and all of that, you know. But now, with all of that presence, with all of that glory, God comes and tabernacled on our inside. Hallelujah. It's almost unbelievable. That is what the scripture is saying, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. When God was going to come and they were going to build that tabernacle and all of that, it was an intensive process. He was giving them the measurements to the letter, the cubit and all of those things. It wasn't something small. The thickness of the veil and all of that, they had to attend to it to the letter. And right now, God discarded all of that because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And he came and is now indwelling on our inside. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ said, if you love me and you keep my commandments, I and the Father, we will come and we will abide with you. Hallelujah. So this is the reality of what we have. That the excellency of the power may be of God and none of us. So when you lay hands on somebody, say, I command that head to go out, and the headache leaves. You don't look at your hands. The excellency is of God. Hallelujah. It's not your hands. It's not the same hands you use to clean your poo when you go to the toilet. It's not the hands. It's the excellency. It's the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. So verse 8 now tells us that we are troubled on every side, but we are not distressed. You know, there's nowhere in the Bible where the Bible tells us that there will be troubles. I don't know whether you have. There's nowhere. But it said, in the midst of the trouble, I will be with you. So when you pass through the waters, it will not drown you. It didn't say if. He said when. So it's an issue of there's a time will come, I will not need to pass through the waters. So when thou fallest into divers tests and trials, count it all joy. It's not joyful, but convert it to joy. Count it. Count it. Count it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are troubled on every side, but I don't cross to the line of distress. I don't cross to the line of distress. Because the line of distress is like, I'm giving up. This thing is not working again. Is it only me? Is it only me? Well, it's not only you, because there's no custom-made affliction. There's nothing you are going through that somebody else has not gone through. He said, no, this is what I'm going through. Pastor, you don't have an idea. Well, there's an idea. Whatever you are going through, somebody somewhere has gone through it. And the Bible says something powerful. It said there's a way of escape. In other words, you never get to the point where there's no way of escape. What if it looks as if there's no way? He said, I will make a way where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. So we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. So we need, because it's a thin line, we need to know that, okay, this is just a trouble. This is not distressed. It's not distress. So it will pass. We are perplexed. How's this? Some things happen. Sometimes you get perplexed. You say, how can that happen? How can that happen? You become perplexed. Like the experience Raymond was sharing with us on Sunday. He said, you see, but not in despair. Because despair is this, that suicidal point that people get to, that Reverend was explaining to us on Sunday. The person just said, there's no point again. Let me just kill myself. He said, look, the fact that you are going through some troubles or something happened and you are perplexed, maybe the loss of somebody very dear or some financial loss in a business. He said, but we are not in despair. Don't let it get to the point of despair. Despair is when you give up on God. I'm no longer interested in this Christianity. It's not working. And you are just going through the motions. Let me just go to church, because if I don't go, they will ask for me. Don't allow your faith to get to the point of despair where you completely give up on God. Because whatever you are going to receive from God is a function of your expectation in God. Expectation. If I come expectant, I will receive. If I come without expectation, God won't force it on me. So the state of heart is very powerful. And there are many in the body of Christ whose hearts are already hardened. It's not really working. But because I'm the Baba Ijo of the church, I have to keep going. You have that a lot in the body of Christ. You just go. And when you talk with such, we'll tell you, all this Bible you are carrying about, you better use a lot of wisdom. Ha. Because in their heart, they are just going through the motions. It's just religion. There is no vital relationship with God. Hallelujah. See, we it's a sin, we have a ministry. We must refuse to faint. He said, we are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. Persecution is not a sign that God hates you. I was so much persecuted. Those people did this, they did that. It's not a sign that God hates you. It's that the perfect man in you will appear. It's that your faith muscles will be built up. So that when somebody else is going through that affliction, you'll be able to pat him at the back and say, no, you won't die. Don't worry. I went through that. Amen to Jesus. Because our spiritual life is like classroom lessons. God will never tempt us with evil. So that's, it's not as if God will put sickness on you to train your, no, God will never do that. But God will allow tests and trials. And when we pass with a right attitude, hallelujah to Jesus, God promotes us in the things of the Spirit. And when there's promotion in the things of the Spirit, it will manifest in physical blessings. All those things are spiritual. When somebody messes you up at the place of your work. And you look at the person and say, you don't know me. It's because of Jesus Christ. When I used to be in the world, by now, you will have gone. you know, some of us have been there before. You know, some people aggravate you to some point, and you're like, I will show you. You just want to take permission from Jesus. Let me become an unbeliever for 10 minutes and show this guy. But God won't give you such permissions. Amen. God won't give you such permissions. It's a test. It's a test on how you will behave. Whether you are going to yield to strife and bitterness and insult and bad attitudes. And when you do that, there's something that gets lost in the spirit realm. Even though you may not know in the physical. But all these things are spiritual. The Bible says concerning David, Saul wanted to kill him. Saul was like a spiritual father or a mentor or an employer or somebody up there. And Saul had issues with madness. He was getting mad and getting healed and getting mad. And he said, okay, let's call David to come and play harp for him. So that while he's playing harp, this guy will be okay. And while he's playing harp, Saul wanted to kill him. Not once, not twice, but three times. But notice what the Bible says. And David behaved himself wisely. What will you have done if it were you? He'll be like, Javliru. Me will play harp. I'm going to my father's house. But you see, God wanted him to be around the palace areas in order to learn how to act like a king when he becomes one. He had never been king all his life. He has never lived around royalty or in the palace. So God wanted him to be around so that he can learn some of those things. God also wanted him to learn what happens to a man that refuses to listen to God and on whom the Spirit of God departs. Well, that was what happened to Saul. So at the moment it came, when David had a problem with Bathsheba, you know his prayer is Psalm 51. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Because he knew this is madness. Madness is coming gradually. You remember Saul. The Holy Spirit left him, an evil spirit came. He became mad. He said, God, I don't want to be mad. Do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Saul, on the other hand, did not repent. He was telling that prophet, he said, please, let's go and package me outside. It was highly PRO. Let's make it this beautiful. You know, as a king, I cannot be embarrassed, you know. Just go out there and tell them everything is still okay. And that prophet, because he tore his clothes, that prophet looked at him and said, the way you tore my clothes is the same way the kingdom of Israel is torn away from your hands. In other words, everything we go through, we are not meant to react. Persecution, we are not forsaken. God is trying to teach us something. Hallelujah. And most of the time, you don't know what God is trying to teach you until after the experience. When the blessing comes, say, wow, thank God, thank God, thank God. Amen. So we should mature to the point where we don't lose it every time. You know, when you lose it on the road, you know, it's on the road, you normally lose it. Somebody's driving wrong for you. I say, you just forget your pastor all of a sudden, you know. Just shout on the man and they say, God, forgive my mouth. Hallelujah. Verse 10 says, always bearing in our bodies. I'm going to jump and conclude because my time is up. Let me just jump. Let's go to verse 16. So that I can conclude. He says, for which cause we faint not. He told us in verse 1, we faint not because we have received mercy. Then he said, because of all these things, these are the things we put in perspective and tiredness will go. The day you look at yourself and say, I'm not going to church again, I'm discouraged. Just think about this. Think about these mercies. Think about the fact that if his mercy has not reached you, you could just have been like an average unbeliever out there who is completely lost. You just think about that. And when you think about that, there will be energy. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Message translation says, when we look at Jesus Christ and consider the hostility he passed through, and we consider it litany after litany, he said, this will shoot adrenaline into our souls. Energy will come when you think about what Jesus Christ went through for you. Hallelujah. So for this cause, we faint not. He said, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Message translation says, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. Hallelujah. In the outwards, everything seems out of place. You look at your bank account, red. You look at the school fees you want to pay, no funds. You look at your marriage, you don't like the way it's going. You look at your, you just don't like it. It says, let there be renewal. How do you get renewed? God's word. Whatever is happening on the outward, I make sure the inward man is renewed. And when the inward man is renewed, there will be energy that will come forth from the inward man that will set things right in the outward man eventually. Hallelujah. So outwardly, things may not be in place, as it were. And the devil tells you, all this confession you have been confessing since January. All this confession. Don't stop confessing. Let people that have testimony confess. You that just sin. You just committed a sin 2 weeks ago. You are confessing. Shut up your mouth. Yeah, the devil does that. Hallelujah. But we must act like that man of God that Reverend told us. The devil told him to jump. He said, you jump first. You jump and die first. When the devil tries to destabilize us, tell him and remind him of his future. He's going to the bottomless place. He has no future. Hallelujah. The inward man must be renewed. And never ever allow the devil to have the last say. You quote back the scripture at him. You open your fridge. It's empty. No cornflakes, no golden mall, no chocolate. It's like that scripture in Habakkuk. The fig tree is dry. You open your pot of stew. No meat, no chicken. As if you didn't know you had the last one yesterday. You now take your spoon and start searching for fish. Like a fisherman with hook at the river. Peradventure, you can see something small below. And the pot of stew begin to tell you, poverty, poverty, poverty. At that point in time, you open your mouth. He will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Pot be filled. You don't allow situation to have the last say. Hallelujah. So the inward man must be renewed. Verse 17, for a light affliction. Let me tell your neighbor that affliction is light. Couldn't wait. It's light. See, what doesn't have weight should not weigh you down. If it doesn't have weight, it shouldn't weigh you down. That light affliction. Let me say, Pastor, you are just preaching. You don't know what I'm going through. What did you go through that Apostle Paul did not go through? Apostle Paul, he was in the deep for 3 days. I don't know how he did that. Whether it was, I don't understand that scripture. Maybe I will explain. More. He was in the deep. Is he inside the river? Is it that he died? Is it that I don't know. That guy went through affliction. At a point in time, he had nothing to put in his CV except his afflictions. So I was beaten of the Jews. 40 less than one. What's the difference? Hallelujah. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment. It's for a moment. It's not going to last. Then this is the one I like. It says, it worketh. It worketh. The word there in the Greek is energia, from where we see the word energy. It's working something. Whatever affliction, whatever trouble, whatever issue you are going through, something is being worked. Hallelujah. Something is being worked in the spirit realm. Say, God, you are looking at me like this, I'm suffering. God will look at you because something has to work. It has to work. And so I have to maintain the right attitude and not lose it so that I don't tamper with the process of what God is working in my life. He is working. Energy. Energy. Something is working. He says he's working for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. It's working. It's working. Message translation says these hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. So last verse says, while we look not at the things that are seen, because that is how we can now allow God to work whatever he wants to work. While we look not. While we look not. Literal Greek says, while we do not give mental consideration to the things which are seen. There's no amount of time you spend looking at the red bank account that will make it to fill up with money. So don't look at it too much. Rather, what do you do? He said, why we look not at the things. Let's look at the scripture. Why we look not at the things which are seen? He said, but at the things which are not seen. What are the things that are not seen? The things that are not seen are the things that are real, but we can't see with our physical eyes. So we call that forth so that we can actually see it. Hallelujah to Jesus. Every time there is something we see that we don't like, there is something we cannot see which is far more better than what we are seeing. Hello, somebody. It's just like this. If your shoe is going at score, and it's going at score, it's going at score, it's going at score, you know when the shoe is going at score? There is another shoe in the boutique which is better. The one that is going as core is designer as well. It's just as Cobbler Loche. Cobbler Loche, Cobbler Loche is still designer. You know? But there's a new one there. So he says, don't focus on this one. He says, Obatami. God, you are looking at me like this. Don't focus on this one. Focus on that one there. And by faith, that becomes a reality. In other words, at every point in time, where I focus determines what is eventually worked out for me. Hallelujah. So when I have problems paying my children's school fees, maybe I just made some expenses, I don't dwell on that and get discouraged and get despondent and get moody over it. I start to look at the fact that I will pay these school fees. God will supply. God will supply supernaturally. If Jesus can tell Peter to go to the river and catch a fish and look into the mouth, then it means there is something called supernatural ATM that can bring out money supernaturally. So I dwell on the supernatural rather than the physical. Because when I dwell on the physical, it weighs me down. Hello, somebody. And that's what the devil does for a lot of people. You want to start a business, you write out your needs and your capital. Then you start looking at it, and then you are weighed down to the point that you say, maybe next year. Because you are dwelling on it. The real capital is God's word. That is what you dwell on. And I've come to understand that this word, it never fails. Never. It never fails. Heavens will pass. The earth will pass away. A time will come, the moons will dissolve. The sun will not be. But this word that you hold in your hands, this word that is being declared on Sundays and on Tuesdays, year after year, it will never pass away. In other words, your real wealth is this word of the living God that you have. It's not your physical bank account. is not the amount of money you have right now. Your real asset is not the land you have or the house you have, is the prosperity you have on your inside. That is why he said that the communication of our faith may become effectual by acknowledging these things that we have on our inside. Let's focus on the inward man. Let's go back to the inward man. Let's put some wealth there, because the prosperity in reality is prosperity of our soul. And as we begin to prosper in our mind, in our spirit, as we prosper there, prosperity will become a reality in our hand. I pray tonight that God will indeed open our eyes the more and help us to see a higher revelation of this word, and bring us to a point that we will focus on that which matters and not on the ephemera, that will not be distracted with the little things around us, that will not be taken away by little things here and there that we are not supposed to get involved with, but that will focus on that which matters. We focus on that which is weighty. We focus on that which are not seen, because that is a real thing that will bring into reality and will be superimposed upon that which we see. And that is the miracle of this treasure that we have in our heart and vessels. When we look on our inside, I said, it's not just me, it's about God. It's about the God that I have. It's about the God that I carry. It's about the one that I have on my inside. That is my backup. That is the one I lean on. It is the rock that is on. You can't shift anyhow. It is the rock that is unbreakable. It is the rock that if you come against it, you'll be broken into pieces. And if the rock comes against you, you'll be grounded to powder. So says the word. Stand upon your feet tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We bless you. We give you all the praise. We honor you tonight. We thank you for your word. Blessed be your holy name. Go ahead and speak in other tongues. Pray in the spirit tonight.
Let's thank God for the word. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for your word. We thank you, O God, for your word. We thank you, O God, for your word. We thank you, O God, for your word. Lord, we thank you for your word. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. Hallelujah.